Shall we turn to the Word of God, to the Gospel of John tonight? That great epistle of the Gospel of John. I'm sure that many of you have enjoyed and will constantly enjoy when you know the Lord as your Savior, the wonderful ministry of the Apostle John. It has well been stated, there are three great lines of truth in your New Testament. There is that which we call church truth. And church truth, for that we are greatly indebted, and chiefly indebted to the Apostle Paul, who by the Holy Spirit well wrote the origin of the church, the functions of the church, as well as the destiny of the church in great detail, as given to him by the Holy Spirit. Then we have another great line of truth in the New Testament, which is not only New Testament truth, but it is also an Old Testament truth, kingdom truth. For we do bless and praise God. There is much of kingdom truth in the Word of God, both in the Old Testament, telling of the coming kingdom, and the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ over the millennial earth. And you have much of it in the New Testament somewhat, the coming again of the Lord Jesus. But there is a line of truth that is particularly indebted by us to the Apostle John and his ministry, which can be called, and is properly called, Christ's truth. He very devotedly ministers in the writings of his epistle, his gospel, in fact, particularly that, and in the epistle, as well as in the book of the Revelation, where we mentioned in yesterday's morning message, the first chapter of that book. He particularly ministers of the person of Christ. There is no question of doubt. The one disciple amongst all of them that was nearer to the person of Christ must have been the beloved Apostle John, who leaned upon his bosom. You cannot begin reading the gospel which he wrote, in which you find in chapter 1, he brings before us the person of the Lord Jesus with an introduction. From chapter 1, verse 1, going down through verse 18. And then when you read his epistle, the first epistle of John, he introduces us to that same person, the one whom he knew from the beginning, and whom he had heard, whom his eyes had seen, and whom he had looked upon intently, and whom he had seen and heard. And he brings before us that one whom he calls the Word of Life. And then when you read the revelation that he wrote, we notice in chapter 1, he cannot begin it, and he does not, without bringing to our hearts the glorious person of Christ. He presents him in that book of the revelation in a special way, as you have the description, as you read it from verse 9 going down through verse 16, relative to his coming character as the judge of all the earth. But John very specially writes concerning the person of Christ. Now in the gospel which he wrote, I'm sure you also recognize, sometimes it has probably been called, the gospel of the glory of the Son of God. And what glory we see as we pen the pages and read the pages of John's gospel relative to the glory of the Lord Jesus. Note in chapter 1 and verse 14, if you will please, the declaration of John regarding that blessed one of whom he writes, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Note the 18th verse in particular again, another verse where preeminently he brings before us that eternal character of the Son of God as the only begotten Son. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Go with me, if you will, please, to chapter 14 for just a moment, and read with me words about which we desire, by the help of the Spirit of God, to minister upon the great subject that John brings before us, not only in his gospel, gospel, but also in his epistle, regarding not only Christ, but the Father also. Chapter 14. Let me begin reading, if I may, at verse 9. Or verse 8 would be better. More appropriate to begin at verse 9. For I'd like to state the theme of our study for the week will be concerning the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and His family. What a blessed subject. God the Father and His family. And what joy to know the blessed Lord Jesus came to the earth to find that family for the beloved Father above. Read with me from verse 8, let me go through verse 10. And even verse 11. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. May God add his blessing to the reading of this short portion from his precious word, but may we emphasize again the theme of the study we would wish to follow by the help of the Spirit. God our Father and its family. I would indeed very carefully and emphatically remind you, as well as my own heart, the revelation of God as a Father in the light of the New Testament teaching and revelation of it. That revelation was not revealed in the Old Testament to any of God's dear people, saint or patriarch. The relationship of God has been intimately known as a Father. Now let me prove it from quoting the words you may well know from Matthew 11 and verse 27, the words of the Lord Jesus. Note them very carefully and distinctly. When the Lord Jesus makes the statement in that one verse, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom he will reveal him. And may I suggest to you, I say it reverently and worshipfully, there is no human person, no saint of God, no child of God, that completely knows the glory and the excellency and the perfection of the Son of God in his person, but the Father. No man knoweth the Son, but the Father. But now the Lord Jesus says, neither knoweth any man the Father, but the Son, and to whom the Son may reveal him. And it was not until the Son of God came to the earth, there came to pass a revelation that was never known in human history. God revealing himself as Father. We read in John chapter 1, 14, and may I mention it again, both that and verse 18, when John wrote the Word, that blessed, incorruptible, eternal character, the person of the Son of God, as you have at the beginning of the chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 40, that one Word, the one called the Word, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld, said John, his glory. What was the glory they beheld? The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Now note again in verse 18 where we read, no man hath seen God at any time. the only begotten Son, who is, and may I dwell upon that verb very definitely, it's an eternal is, eternally present in its truth, ever is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him and revealed him. And may I humbly say, the coming of the coming of the Son of God into this world has brought the revelation, the greatest revelation of God that could ever be known, to know him as Father. Now let me emphasize it again. By the contrast of some of your Old Testament revelations, very briefly, you may remember in chapter 17 of the book of Genesis, the great patriarch Abraham heard God say to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. I am the Almighty God. There's the greatness, the superabundance, omnipotence of God is revealed in that name. The Almighty God. I cannot express and emphasize too greatly. And even know the greatness of the omnipotent God in that characteristic, the omnipotent one. It has been well stated, I can't prove it myself, but from those who have read and those who have written regarding the scientific fact that in the great body of stars we call in the universe the Milky Way, there are about 18 million stars in that body of the solar system of others. 18 million stars. And with the estimation that each star may weigh a million times more than our Earth. And if you could take those stars and put them, if you possibly could, in one stack together, how great it would be, more than comprehended in weight by you and by me. But if you could put them in one stack, the omnipotence of God could take them away. I saw me removed but a single grain of sand. My beloved, the omnipotence of God makes one recognize how small man is. For instance, when David in there, you read in Psalm 8, you remember he said, when he views the skies of us, when I see the stars that thou hast made, what is man? Insignificant that thou art mindful of him. But there's no question of doubt as he views the stars in the night. And I know not how many millions of stars are there, neither does any other man. But oh, to think in the greatness of the universe, David realized his own insignificance. What is man? And in the Hebrew text, it's man in his wretchedness that thou regardest him. And one can well recognize the omnipotent God is beyond human comprehension as well as speculation and intellectual understanding. He's the Almighty God. Makes you feel very small. And then you read, as you may remember, in chapter 3 of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 14, when Moses stood before the burning bush, and there in the presence of that bush was the Eternal One speaking to him, commissioning him to go to the people of Israel in the land of Egypt and deliver them. And Moses objected in going and said, one of the things he said to God, whom shall I say sent me? For it's very evident, I think it was evident all through the history of Israel, that any pious Jew who thus was visited by any prophet, he had a right to say, tell me, what has God got to say to me? What is his latest word? Just as Nicodemus came at that night to see the Lord Jesus. He said, Rabbi, thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Nicodemus recognized, though he was not a believer in that blessed person yet. He recognized a teacher comes from God. One thing he didn't know, he was God, very God, come to teach. But he recognized his ability. And he stood waiting for the great next revelation that Jesus would give him from God. And he must have been shocked, and he was shocked and surprised to be told he, a religious leader, had to be born again. But nevertheless, When Moses asked God the question, what shall I say? Who sent me? Remember the text title that God gave of himself? Tell them, I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. I am the king of eternity. I have no beginning. I have no ending. May I humbly remind you as well as I know not, you and I have a beginning, but we don't have an ending, but God never had a beginning. Neither did the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, taking us back into that eternal path. I am that I am. Now that is a great revelation. Almost indeed beyond human comprehension. And then to Moses in chapter 6 of Exodus, he gave another name, Jehovah, to his earthly people Israel. But let me say humbly and faithfully, if you find the name Father in the Old Testament, very briefly, I believe you only have 5 or 6 mentions of that same name, Father, but usually in relation to God, and usually in relation to his creatorial authority. Not relative to a child, to a father. But listen to what you have in the New Testament very briefly. Let me quickly state this. You go through the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, and find 23 times the Father of the Lord Jesus is mentioned by name. Go to the Gospel of Mark, I think you'll find only 4 times the Father is mentioned by name. Go to the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find 16 times the Father is mentioned by name. Go to the Gospel of John, where we are, I believe, if I remember correctly, 114 times. John, above all the others, writes in his Gospel concerning not only the Son, but the Father. And I believe altogether in the New Testament, there's approximately 257 occasions God is mentioned as Father. But not in the Old Testament. Now please recall what we read, as we read it in chapter 1 and verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, unoriginated, uncreated, co-eternal with the Father, the only begotten Son, he hath declared or made him known. And beloved, was a joy to recognize the Lord Jesus came to bring a revelation of God that has superseded in its blessed truth all other revelations before. Now let me please state again, as far as I'm concerned, I love to think of this in joy that the relationship of God as he reveals himself through Christ to this earth is a relationship with Father. Did we not see in our message of yesterday morning at 11 o'clock hour, as we were in the Ephesian Epistle chapter 1, the apostle saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And did we not find in that context, it was the Father before the foundation of the world that decided he would have a family of children who would be holy and without blame before him in love. My beloved, please let me say, of all the divine undertakings, there are many, and who can fathom them all in the great Godhead. The greatest divine undertaking was that God the Father desired, out of the human race, the wretched sons of Adam, to get a family of children for himself. And only through the coming of the Son, and by the coming of the Son, and the life and the work, and the atoning death of that blessed Son of his love, could he obtain the children. Oh, beloved, please let me say, what joy it is to realize, to have the joy of saying, God is my Father. I'm immediately taken back in memory. Oh, I would say back to 1920. And I remember in an open air meeting in the street of our city, a young man standing on the sidewalk, listening carefully, with his little girl with him. I went to him after the service, for he seemed to be interested in me, listening intently. And he said, I'd like to talk with you. He said, I'm a socialist. Well, if he was living today, he probably would say, I'm a communist. But back in those days, I'm a socialist. But I'd like to talk with you. And so I made an appointment, went to his home, sat at his kitchen table with my Bible, seeking to bring the reality of God, believing God, to his attention from the scriptures the best I could. I was only a young Christian, perhaps about 21, something like that. But I do recall, on one occasion sitting there, I made a statement to him that, as he sat across from me, he leaned back in his chair and looked at me in amazement. When I told him, I know God as my Father. Honey, astonished me, looked and said, your father could believe it. Oh, well, of course he could. How could he not be born again? But the reality of it, oh, my fellow believer, would to God you and I knew the Father better. Well, we can only know him through the Son. Oh, the joy of realizing what that Blessed One has done in coming to the earth to reveal to us his Blessed Father that we might know the Father. But now may I point out very carefully what the Lord Jesus has done to reveal the Father. Go with me then to chapter 14 of John's Gospel, where we read the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And you have in the words of the Lord Jesus in that particular portion, very carefully, as Philip, and I often wonder when Philip said to the Lord Jesus, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I wonder what the Lord Jesus thought when he answered and said, Philip, have I been so long time with you? Sayest thou to me, show us the Father? Can I raise the question? How long have you been saved? How much do you know your Father? How much do I know him? That blessed person of God. Oh, the joy of knowing. Well, you remember what Paul wrote, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. God has sent his Spirit unto us that we might cry into our hearts, that we might cry what? Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8 again. The beloved Apostle Paul mentions that same name, Abba, Father. You may also remember very carefully, and probably, importantly, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when that blessed Holy One, the Son of God, was praying in the agony of that hour, facing the sufferings of the cross and the death of sorrow that would be his portion to bear as the sin bearer for the universe, he prayed to his Father, saying, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Why did he call him Abba Father? Please let me say to you, it's an Aramaic word that implies dearness, tenderness, and affection. Abba, just as a child would say, Daddy. Abba, dear. The affection of the heart to the one who is the object of love. Father. Oh, my beloved, please let me say, those sacred words the Lord spoke poured out the affection that was his to his Father when he prayed, Abba, Father. And God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart and mine, whereby we may cry the same precious word, Abba, Father. But know what we read in John 14, where we read beginning in those words, please, I would like to notice very carefully. For may I give, before we go further in it, let me again go back, John chapter 1 and verse 18, to emphasize the intimacy, the relationship that was so intimate between the Son and the Father. Remember the words? No man has seen God at any time. the only begotten Son. You'll find the title 5 times in the writing of John. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has revealed it. Well, let me give you the thought. I don't know whether you believe it, but to my soul it means much. That blessed eternal Son has always been in the bosom of the Father. That word, the verb is an eternal presence. He is in the bosom of the Father. Read John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. I think it's in verse 14. He met not in verse 14, but in one of those verses in conversation. He speaks of himself as the Son of Man. Who is in heaven? Please let me emphasize. Here was a very blessed person upon the earth in human form. Eternal in his co-equal character with the Father and with the Holy Spirit in the great Godhead. But all the time he was upon the earth, he dwelt in the bosom of the Father. The love of the devotion, the affection and the nearness and the dearness and the intimacy was never separated. And let me go further, you may not agree, but even when he was on the cross, let me quote his words from John 10, verse 17. Hereby doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. My beloved, you remember when the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How amazing the love of God could give the greatest gift that was the possession of the Father's heart, his only begotten Son. And that blessed one was just as dear to him in the heart of the Father when he was doing the Father's will in dying upon the cross. Hereby doth the Father love me, because I laid down my life for much. Let me give you a suggestion. Think of Abraham and Isaac. Do you believe that Abraham loved or didn't love his son when he was about to put the knife in it? In obedience to the test of God? Tremendous test. No other man evidently has been so tested, humanly speaking, apart from the Lord Jesus in his humanity, but no other person has been so tested as Abraham. And you have no question of doubt, the journey of Abraham with Isaac to that Mount Moriah, where he was to sacrifice his son, that heart of the Father was upon his beloved. In fact, you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you find Abraham's son Isaac is called. Abraham offered his only begotten son. He's given the same title for Isaac, but because he went to the Mount Moriah, where God intervened, as we well know, and Isaac was there. My beloved, you may remember the fact that Abraham and Isaac, it said, so they went both of them together. And the Father's heart within, the heart of the Son, dwelling within life. Remember what the Lord Jesus said when before he came to the earth, as you have it in Hebrews 10, Psalm chapter 40. I know I come to do thy will, O God. I delight to do thy will, O God. And you can't tell me, well, if I have got scripture to prove it. The Father was delighted when the Son died. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. Those words ought to produce worship, adoration. Better save my soul and to save yours. The Father was pleased in the death of his son. Please! That he had a son that did his will. In all the testings of humanity as he was on the earth in life. What a blessed one. Now how did he reveal the Father? Look at our words we have in chapter 14, briefly. As Philip asked the Lord Jesus, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Why sayest thou then, show us the Father? Do you have the words, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father? Oh, the joy of realizing when you see him in all the glory and the blessedness of his person and work, you find the Father. You've gone in verse 6, you know that verse very well, if we see it, when Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then Philip raises this question. And Philip is told, he that hath seen me, please, let me say this, please, lovingly. You know, when I was saved back in my boyhood days, back in 1914 to be exact, but I remember when I was saved, you know what? That very night I took the Lord as my Savior, I could call God Father in a relationship. Thank God for that. I came to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Find the way, truth, life. And he's the exclusive way to the Father. My beloved, please let me say, I need it. I know it's a long time ago since the Lord saved me, but I need it just as much today, if not even more. John, when I saved you, I brought you to know my Father. And if I remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John 16, he said to his disciples, the Father himself loveth you because you believed in me. Please, may I say this? You and I don't understand how much the Father loves us. We think Jesus loves me, but I don't really ever think Father loves me much. But he would never love you if not for Jesus loving you and dying for you. But nevertheless, we are drawn into the heart of the Father. Now note how the Lord Jesus said he did it. As you go to verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 particularly. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now note, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of or from myself, but the Father that liveth dwelleth in me. He doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works. Underscore two words. One in, you got both of them in verse 10. The words that I speak, and the work that I do. By his word, when he was here upon the earth, by his word, he revealed the Father. You'll find if you study this Gospel of John, if I remember correctly, you'll find that he spoke to the Pharisees and told them, he said, I've spoken unto you of my Father. And you'll also find that he speaks to the disciples of the revelation of the Father too. And then if you go to chapter 17 in his great prayer, he tells the Father, by the word, I've given him thy word. Let me give you this thought. Oh, how I need him. I feel so frail compared to him. Every word the Lord Jesus spoke, I think you'll find it in John 5:39. He said, that God, my Father, gave me my word. And may I say humbly, but may I say very faithfully, I never thought the need of it more. The older I grow, the ministry that is my responsibility, I need my words to come from God. Communicating spiritual things by spiritual means, spiritual words. And beloved, what joy it is to realize every word the Lord Jesus spoke, he got the words from the Father. And the work that he did were by the guidance and control of the Father. The Father himself doeth the work. Everything he did, read your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John through, and realize every word he spoke was the Father. Every word that he performed, the Father. And what shall I say when you think of the gracious consummation of it? Those words and those works that he did led him to the cross. And may I be reminded when he's on the cross, as you may well know, the great absolute victory that he gave at the end of that crucifixion scene. As with a loud voice he cried, "It is finished!" And he bowed his head and died. My beloved, let me point out something to you. It's very precious to realize. Did you ever notice the very first words that are recorded in the life of the Lord Jesus that he ever spoke and recorded in the scriptures? You'll find in chapter 2 of Luke, I think verse 49. You remember when he was at Jerusalem with his parents? Perhaps for the first time in his boyhood days as a Jewish youth. And he stayed behind for 3 days before his parents found him. Mary, his mother, rebuked him. And then the Lord Jesus said, "Why did you seek me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" 12 years of age. Conscious of his Father's business. As he thus conversed with the Jewish leaders and rabbis and scholars of his day in the temple. Oh, the blessed word of God. And then when he expired upon the cross, he cried triumphantly. He'd done the Father's business. There's one sure thing. The business our Lord Jesus came to the earth to do was successfully finished. Hallelujah. Thank God. It is finished. Every job. Tell me, sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? And you remember when he prayed in John 17? He said to the Father, "Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." That's why he came. Now let me ask you a question before we close. Have you revealed the Father to you? Are you here perhaps without the knowledge? You cannot know, you do not know the Father. Oh, let me speak the words that he said again. John 14:6. When Thomas asked him, "How can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, the life." And let me remind you, it's what you got in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. He was the great I am. Lifting his hands in the starry universe and saying, "I exist forever." And he was the eternal, the only begotten Son of God, who said to you and to me and to all, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father, only exclusively by me." Without him, you'll never get in the Father's home of us. With him you will. He said, "I am the way, not a way, the way, the only way, the truth." All truth is embodied in him. And may I say frankly, all truth in the Word of God will lead you to the person of Christ if you follow the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The way, the truth, and the giver of all life, eternal life. And no man can come to the Father except by me. Oh, my beloved, please may I say, oh, may I bless my own soul in reminding myself, John, when the Lord Jesus saved you as a poor, guilty, confessed sinner coming to him with your guilt of sin and finding in him what you had been hearing, he came into the world to save sinners. I became a child of the Father. I could call him Father. Oh, my beloved, please, how much do you know your Father? Well, let me tell you something. He knows all about you and me. Every one of his children, as we shall see, God willing, more and more in the night following. But the joy of knowing Christ came to reveal the Father. Remember what John writes, and let me close with this observation, as you have in his first epistle. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, let me suggest the fellowship that will be yours and mine, my fellow believer, throughout all eternity. You talk about having fellowship with saints. Well, thank God we do have happy fellowship with saints on earth, but when it comes to eternal glory, the greatest part of the fellowship is going to be fellowship with the Father and with His Son. the one who brought it to the Father. But may I raise the question, please realize, have you realized, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, the only one, eternal, co-eternal, and uncreated, unoriginated, and no end, no beginning, and he has no ending. But he came into this world to bring him where? To God. You know, I'd rather know God as my Father than know him as the omnipotent creator of the universe. That doesn't save you. When I know him through his Son who died to save you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I said it yesterday, I'll say it tonight if you go, hey, without apology. For the repetition. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved right now. Thank God I don't have. Oh, beloved, how much do we know the Father? Shall we pray and give him a word of thanks? Oh, our blessed Father. Oh, Father. How precious to call thee. That which thy Son called thee. Oh, righteous Father. Oh, holy Father. Oh, Father. And then did he call thee Abba? Father, we've got to acknowledge we don't know thee well enough as we should. We're going to spend eternity with thee, and Father, we heard it from thy word. Yes, you wanted us before the foundation of the world. Father, may each of us who are thine tonight go home with rejoicing with thy children. We can call this the same precious name thy Son called thee. That Holy Son of thy love, our Father. Grant indeed if there's one here tonight who knows thee now. The Spirit of God will convict them. They cannot come to the Father except they come through Christ and his atoning, redeeming work. Bless us as we separate, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Rejoicing in the